Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Taking Your Next Step podcast from Collegians for Christ. Through each episode, we will journey together focusing on knowing what you believe and why you believe it. If you are eager, like I am, to strengthen your faith, then take your next step now by joining us in today's episode. So we spent the last probably four episodes talking about prayer, fasting, and just looking at our motivation for prayer, the promises of prayer, so many different things. But I want to finish up with this. What do we do when God does not answer our prayers or God says no to our prayers? Maybe you've prayed to the best of your ability. You have prayed for something good and something right, but God does not come through. He does not answer your prayer. He may just sit silent. It may be a no, it may be a maybe, it may be not right now. But what do you do? You see, I've struggled here in times throughout my Christian life. Because when God doesn't answer, it can shrink my confidence or your confidence in prayer and in Him. It can cause you to stop praying as much or in lack of faith. It can cause you even to question God, doubt His power, His love, His care, existence. Remember, we're saying we're praying for what seems to be good things, right things, praying for someone's salvation, praying for someone's healing, praying for God to open up this door, praying for God to take care of this. And when that prayer is not answered, it can cause you to lose your faith, sometimes even lose your mind. It can cause you to really struggle with trusting God. But it doesn't have to. I think as we think through and we look at one passage of Scripture and realize that there's even a prayer that Jesus prayed that God did not answer, I believe it will help us greatly of how to handle our unanswered prayer, what we need to do when God doesn't answer. So in Mark chapter 14, verse 32 through 42, I'll just try to read it in bits and pieces, a little longer passage of Scripture. But there is a time when Jesus prayed a prayer to God and God said no. Verse 32 says, "And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he saith to his disciples, Sit ye here while I pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And he saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forth a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou will." And so Jesus prayed a prayer here. It was a very specific prayer. It was not a general or generic prayer that God's saying, "What exactly do you want me to do?" It was a specific prayer asking God to do a very specific task. What was it? To remove the arrest, the torture, the cross, and death. It was a good prayer, and what I would say is an unselfish prayer. That he doesn't want to go through the cruel arrest, the torture that would be so painful, the cross that would be humiliating and excruciating in its pain. So we have a specific prayer, but also a model prayer. We see it mimics so much of the Lord's Prayer, what we say is the model prayer. He began with Abba, Father. He addressed God as Father. He said all things are possible. He praised and attributed all power to God. But he said, not what I will. He seeks God's will to be done on earth. And then he gave a very specific prayer. But not only was it specific, but it was a repeated prayer. How many times did Jesus pray this? We talked about persistence in one of our previous studies and how Jesus taught us to be persistent in prayer and how that can help see our request answered. But here he repeated it in verse 36. That was his first prayer. Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou will. In verse 39, he prayed. It says this, and again he went away and prayed, and watch this, and spake the same words. He prayed the exact same prayer again. Now, I would say this, if there was a perfect prayer that God should answer, this was it. It was specific, it was a model prayer, just like Jesus had taught, and there was persistence in it. But in response to the prayer that Jesus prayed, we see the answer that God provided. The request was heard. Just because God is not answering does not mean he has not heard us. God heard this prayer because he has promised to hear and answer our prayers. But the answer was this. The answer was no. For this request, God answered no. And no is still an answer. but it's not an answer that we like to hear. No one likes to be told no. So what do you do when God tells you no? You can get angry. That's one option. You can give up on prayer. That's another option. Or you can question God. That's another option. But we're going to talk about what the right reaction is when God says no to our prayers. You see, this prayer was a request. We talk about, hey, anybody have a prayer request? What exactly is a request? It's a polite way of asking someone to do something. It is not a demand. So the very nature of a request means a possible response of a yes or no. Paul said this, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." So you and I have prayer requests, not prayer demands. And so we need to remember that. Sometimes we try to put ourselves in a prideful way against God. When God would say no, or God would delay the answer, we get frustrated, aggravated, angry, question God. But here it is a request that we're giving. So we're saying this, we'll praise him when he says yes and complain when he says no. We'll love him when he says yes and hate him when he says no. We'll have faith when he says yes, but doubt when he says no. What kind of child would this be? Happy when he or she gets what they want and throws a fit when they don't get what they want. We would say that is an unselfish, immature, ungrateful, think the world revolves around him type of person. Then why on earth are you and I this type of child to our Father? And I find myself here often when I don't feel God is hearing, when I don't feel God is working. But who are we? We are children, and he is our Father. When God said no to Jesus, we learned this, the surrender that Jesus presented. Verse number 36, he says, not what I will, but what thou wills. It's not what I will, not what I want, what I can understand, what I see. You see, we are not perfect. We are stained with sin. What we want has very limited understanding. It's small in comparison to the bigger picture. See, God sees the big picture. We see such a small, narrow picture and may have some unseen selfish motives. It does not mean it's not important, though. You see, we're not perfect. Therefore, our will is not perfect. What we're wanting is stained with sin. We have a will which we think is good. We desire to see God move and intervene based on what we are asking him in prayer. But what we are asking sometimes is not God's will. So what do? We have to come to a point like Jesus here and surrender our will to him. To say, regardless of what I'm asking and how you might answer, thine will be done. Bottom line is not what I want, but what you want. And this is a war. There has to be a complete surrender of our will to God's will. And sometimes this must happen in the middle of the battle where you're getting so frustrated, hurt, and aggravated at God. You just need to stop and surrender. You may say, well, that isn't easy, and you're right. It can be a downright mental, spiritual war, but we do this. Why? Because while we're not perfect and our will is not perfect, God's will is perfect and God is perfect. If we remind ourselves about who God is, it will help us. Remember that God is love, that he is just, he's omniscient, he knows everything. And so if he's going to answer, he has to answer it within love and goodness as a good father. He wants nothing but the best in your life. Matthew chapter 7, he's promised, look, if you ask for I can't remember exactly how he puts it, but let's just say if you ask for a box, I'm not going to give you a rock. If you ask for something good, I'm not going to give you something that's going to hurt you. And so he gives us the promise to hear and answer, and the promise that however he answers will be good. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11 tell us that. God's will is perfect. He has an overarching will in this world. And so every yes moves towards this goal, and every no moves toward this goal. His overarching will is to reveal himself and his love towards others, to bring all mankind back to himself through believing in his son, Jesus Christ. Every answer of our prayers will always be for our good, even when we do not understand how, because God's will is perfect. These are not demands, and so we treat them too often like demands. God, why are you not? I asked. And understand there is a promise of prayer, but who are we to demand anything of the God of heaven, but yet we come off that way because God is not doing exactly what we've asked him to do. Even Jesus had a prayer that God didn't answer. I think that's the main theme of our study. But thinking the Son of God prayed a prayer that God didn't answer, why should I not have a prayer that God does not answer or says no to? Also, God's delays are not always God's denials. I've seen that numerous times in our lives. Sometimes God is having to orchestrate a thing. Sometimes the prayer is big. God's having to work in multiple people's lives. He's trying to, you know, orchestrate different situations so that that can come true. And so sometimes it does take time. I know our prayer for the campus house that we have opened up last year, we prayed for 10 to 11 years that God would open up a door for us to be able to have a campus house. And we prayed and prayed, and we knew it was a good prayer. I mean, it's a way to reach more students, to get the gospel out, to just to build God's ministry on a college campus. And yet we kept running to dead end after dead end. And that can be frustrating, but we just kept praying and kept praying. And I can look back now and see that our delay was all in God's perfect timing and perfect place. You see, I believe God reserved the house we're in right now for this specific time and place. There was not a better place nor a better timing before, though I thought there was. You see, God knows best. Remember, Jesus said God is not going to give us something bad because he's a good father. He's going to give us something good, regardless of what that answer might be. And also, this is a powerful truth that I've learned lately. My wife kind of helped me to see this with some stuff we were going through. But your no may be someone else's yes. Your no may be someone else's yes. You see, my wife ended up in the hospital when COVID first came out. We were praying that God would get her out. We're praying that God would heal her. She was getting worse. And so our prayers were not being answered. And she ended up in the hospital there for about 3 days. And if she had not gone to the hospital or had gotten out of the hospital earlier, there were three nurses that she had the opportunity to witness to while she was in there who ended up getting saved. And all three of them, definitely two of them, if not all three of them, said they had family members who had been praying for them for their salvation for years. So I want you to understand, in many situations, your no may be someone else's yes. Your yes may be someone else's no. My prayer, and even our church's prayer for her to be healed and to come out of the hospital, was us getting a no so that someone else who had been praying for years would get a yes. And so sometimes we don't think about that. We don't see the bigger side of the picture. So do you have prayers that it seems God has not or is not answering? Trust him in the answer he is giving. Trust that however he answered is going to be good, perfect, and the acceptable will of God. If God is delaying, keep praying. If God is saying no, just trust him. Thank you for taking the time to listen. If this podcast has been helpful to you, please share it with a friend or subscribe to stay up to date on the latest episodes. You can connect with Collegians for Christ online for more information and resources at cfccampusministry.com.